This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with, see, this is new, much vexation, the vanity of self-indulgence, the vanity of living wisely, and the vanity of toil. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Numbers chapter 14. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land, 'They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, it is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great, as you have promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it.' This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've just heard from Numbers chapter 14, this pivotal moment in the books of Moses where the people sinned, incurs God's anger, and as a result, all those who left Egypt as adults will no longer be allowed to enter into the promised land, except, of course, for Caleb and Joshua. Now, this is much more than just an interesting historical narrative that tells us why it took so long for the people to get from Egypt to the promised land. Much more than that, it reveals to us something about the nature and the character of God. And so this is what I would like to focus on this morning. Now, the situation truly begins in the previous chapter, at the beginning of chapter 13. That's when the Lord tells Moses to send spies into the land to go and check it out. So they send 12, one from every tribe. Moses gives us all the names, but the only ones anyone remembers are Caleb and Joshua. They go and they come back and they tell everyone that this land is really great, it's wonderful, it's bountiful in its fruit, but 10 of those 12 don't want to go because they say, we can't go up against these people, we'll never win. Caleb, of course, says, we need to go and take it because the Lord's giving it to us. To make a long story short, the people of Israel decide to go with the report of the 10 who did not want to go. They say, we're going to pick ourselves a new leader to take us back to Egypt. And they're at the point where they're ready to stone the 4 men, Moses and Aaron, along with Caleb and Joshua, when the Lord shows up in his glory in the tent of meeting. And this, of course, is where our text picks up this morning. The Lord is angry, and he's ready to wipe the people out. Moses then, of course, steps in to intercede on behalf of the people who were just about to stone him. And Moses' intercession is incredibly interesting. We notice that Moses does not intercede for this people because of the merits of the people themselves. It's not, they're, you know, they're really great, Lord. If you just give them a chance, you'll see for yourself. Nothing like that, of course. Rather, his intercession is based on the nature and the character of the Lord, on God himself. There's sort of two parts to it. He begins by saying, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land." You see, the Lord's, his fame precedes him. "They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give them, that he has killed them in the wilderness.'" So the first part of Moses' intercession is based on God's presence among his people. And so he goes into these details. God is seen face to face. He dwells among the people. This is part of who God is. He lives with his people. And then he continues. This is the next part. "And now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving the iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation.'" So the second part of Moses' intercession is based on God's steadfast love, in which his power is made great, as the Lord himself has already said. So he concludes, "Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." This is not the first time the people have sinned. It is not the first time Moses has interceded for them, and it would not be the first time that the Lord would forgive them. But again, Moses does not intercede for them based on their merits, but on who God is. And how does the Lord respond? Well, he begins his response with this one beautiful word. It's one word in Hebrew. We have to make it three. "And the Lord said, 'I have pardoned. I have pardoned as you said.'" Now, this is a perfect tense word. The Lord has already acted. He has pardoned. Now, of course, the people still have to undergo the temporal consequences of their sin. And so the Lord goes on to say, "But truly as I live and as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers." Again, only Caleb and Joshua are accepted from this rule that the Lord proclaims. So again, they face the temporal consequences, but their guilt has been pardoned. "I have been pardoned," declares the Lord. Or "I have pardoned," sorry. The Lord pardons their guilt because it is consistent with his nature and character. Everything Moses said about the Lord is absolutely true. He does live with his people. He is abounding in steadfast love. This is the Lord. Now, this is especially interesting and instructive for us today because this is the same Lord today. His nature and his character have not changed, nor will they ever change. All we can say today is that they have been more fully revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. And so Jesus has become our new intercessor. And much like Moses, Jesus does not intercede based on the merits of the people. Oh, these people are so great, Lord, just give them a shot. You'll come around. No, he intercedes based on the nature and character of the Lord. Our God is a God who lives among his people. As Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us, took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Our God is a God who is abounding in steadfast love, which he put on full display when he did not spare his son, but he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross to wipe away our guilt. It is on the merits of Christ himself that he intercedes for us. And so how does the Father respond to Jesus? With that same beautiful word, I have pardoned. I have pardoned on account of the cross of Christ. So you then, on those days and those nights when you are particularly burdened by the guilt of your sin, and you cry out, Father, forgive me, know that Christ is interceding for you based on his merit. And when you cry out, Father, forgive me, he answers you with that same beautiful word, I have pardoned. Your guilt is taken away on account of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life,
my lips will praise you.
For you have been my help,
and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to hear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and their end forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Merciful Father, give us grace that we may never presume to sin. But if at any time we offend your majesty, may we truly repent and lament our offense, and by a lively faith obtain remission of all our sins. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.